Okay, so if you know me, you know that I am very much into astrology, enneagrams, personality assessments. Literally been like this my whole life when it comes to self-discovery and just the cheat codes and the blueprints for understanding who I am. Most recently, human design has been my new thing. I mean, I can count the ways that I love learning about philosophies and different takes on how to move through this world as the best version of ourselves. And so on today's episode, we actually get an opportunity to hear from someone for the first time who is fully in this space of astrology, understanding lunar cycles, which is the moon. We're going to be hearing from Alina Brown, from Alina Alive. I just love that name. Alina Alive on YouTube is how I actually found her. It was probably about a year ago when I read Kate Northrup's Do Less book, which I highly encourage all of you all to get, where she talked about the power of understanding your menstrual cycle against the moon's lunar cycle when it comes to creating productivity and creating flow in your life. And so in the process of me aligning my energy in this way that has just been a game changer, I came across Alina's channel. She does phenomenal guided meditations with every change in the lunar cycle. So on your new moon meditation, full moon guiding meditation. Like, I just fell in love with her channel. She's also a nutritionist. So when she found out how to really use the seasonalities to determine which foods to eat and, you know, what's a garden, it really just became her passion. And so this conversation was recorded a while back, and I am excited that we're able to pull it out of the vault now, because more than ever, you're going to be hearing more about how we can just use our surrounding and our environment and the earth, the stars, the moon to really align with mind, body, and soul so that we can all be working in the same motion. And so let's get into today's episode. You are now listening to the Reminder Remedy podcast with Alina Conley, reminding you that everything you need is everything you got to flourish exactly where you are. We believe the world needs happier women, so we provide tools, tips, and life hacks based on the research of positive psychology. This helps you rediscover your strengths while increasing your overall happiness and productivity so that you can take action today. When women flourish, everybody wins. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode of the Reminder Remedy is brought to you by our friends over at Alitu. Can you all believe that we are getting ready to come up on our 5 years of the Reminder Remedy show? Well, I have to be honest, it hasn't always been simple for me to record, edit, and get things out into the world. And so I was super excited when I came across Alitu about a year ago, because I love a good all-in-one tool. I love to save time and money. And that is exactly what we get with this all-in-one complete podcast software, which makes it really good for moms on the go, busy entrepreneurs, solopreneurs who don't want to have 10 different softwares to get their thoughts and their interviews out into the world. So not only can we save some money, which we know in today's society with these gas prices going up, being able to hire an editor, which most times can be up to $50 per episode, is much better when you have an all-in-one tool that you can actually manage yourself for just $32 a month. I love the fact that I can also streamline my creation process. So that means instead of me having to worry about the tech side, hiring somebody else, waiting for their availability, it gives me the tools to get the job done quickly and smoothly. Some of the features that I love about this particular product is the call recorder. So I can not only record things solo, a lot of times I'll go in and I'll add in sound bites, I'll add in intros. I can also record remotely with my guests. The editing though, y'all, this is my favorite because let's be honest, now that we are having to work from home with kiddos, more of us are working in different environments. Someone is always going to pop up in your background. You have a random sneeze in the middle of your episode. I think my last most recent episodes, I've had every guest say, can we pause really quickly? So being able to go in and just easily clip out parts of my actual content and really lean into the post-production of it myself, Alitu makes it very easy. I also like that they automatically standardize your volume and leveling because that's something that's super annoying when you're listening to something and it's really low all of a sudden, then it gets really loud. So it really helps you do that automatically. So if you've been thinking about getting into podcasting, you know I'm a huge fan of it, but you've really been concerned about the back end. Where do I record? How much is it going to cost for me to get all this software? And will I be able to do it myself? This is a tool for you. And they've thrown in something special for us over at Alitu. We can get 20% off using the code Alina. So if you visit Alitu, that's Alitu.com/Alina, you can use my code ALENA to get 20% discount off of your first 3 months. All right. So then they're throwing in another bonus. On top of that, you'll also get 6 months of free access to their Podcraft Academy, which is hosted by not only Alitu, but the podcasthost.com. And that's where you'll get a chance to access loads of resources and get to know other entrepreneurs who are podcasting as well. So go in, take advantage of that free 7-day free trial, and then go ahead and unlock 20% because the world wants to hear what you have to say. All right, guys, welcome back to yet another episode of The Reminder Remedy. If you are tuning in on the podcast, we are super excited to have you. But if you are over on the new YouTube channel, we hope that you are excited to see our faces today. And remember to go and press that red button to subscribe. So I am super excited about today's guest. Number one, because we totally have the same name. So hello, Alina.
Hello, Alina. Happy to be here.
Yes, this is a Reminder Remedy first, having a namesake, but we were just saying how, you know, growing up as an Alina, you really don't have to be that person in class that has the same name as someone else. And so I know that it's become like a little bit more popular now, but it was just very exciting to find you. So I am extremely intrigued by the work that you do. I would say probably in the last 3 months have become very, very intrigued by the phases of the moon in terms of planning for work. I think I was first introduced to understanding your menstrual cycle when it comes to like creativity from Kate Northrup. Are you familiar with her at all in her work?
No, her name sounds very familiar. But no.
I don't okay. know. So she has this book called Do Less. And here over at the Reminder Remedy, one of the things that we focus on in our program is achieving more by doing less. And so when I saw this book, I was like, oh, let me read it. I listened to the Audible. And what she talks about is this idea of using your menstrual cycle to help plan how you live, essentially, but particularly how you can do less by scheduling tasks based on whatever phase you're in your cycle. So I am breastfeeding currently, so I don't have a cycle, but she referenced in the book, you know, if you don't have a cycle, you could use the moon. So this basically just took me down this entire rabbit hole of like, holy crap, this is like a whole new world. And I know that this is like your thing. So the way I want to kick off this episode is today is a full moon in Taurus. All right. And I am a Taurus. And
oh, crazy.
And so I was like, this is just going to be super dope to kind of have you, number one, kind of tell us what that even means. And then us just kind of go down just this whole new world that has become like my jam. So what does the full moon in Taurus today mean? I think it's like a beaver moon is what I meant. I think you mentioned on even your recent episode. Yes. So what can we expect?
Yeah. So the full moon in general is the midway point in the lunar cycle. And it's seen as the energetic peak, just as we see its peak in reflecting the sun's light as well. And so there's so many things to go into. And also you mentioned so many things that resonated with me, like my sort of entryway into learning about the moon phases relative to womanhood, relative to nature, was, let's see, when did it start? Oh, it started with nutrition, really, because I started out as a nutritionist and I still am, but I started learning more and more about the power of eating seasonal foods and living in alignment with nature, and that we can remind ourselves the earth has its seasons, the moon has its phases, and so do we. Similar to, like you were mentioning, with our hormones, we have different phases throughout any given menstrual cycle or the 28-day cycle on average for women. And being okay with that, being open-minded to learning more about that and how that reflects nature, nature reflects back, and how it's such a synergistic aspect of just being alive. And it just felt very empowering to learn about. So it's really cool to hear you went through a very similar journey, and that empowerment as well, like you mentioned in motherhood, that's really beautiful too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry. Okay. So going back to the full moon. So the full moon is seen as a culmination point, just as we see the light building from the new moon, that being the beginning of the lunar cycle, to its energetic peak. So too can maybe some intentions that we set during the new moon build up in momentum. And even if you don't necessarily believe in, say, the energetic impact of it, having that visual reminder in nature every 28 to 30 days can, at least for me, be very empowering when it comes to shifting from being in the quarterly, you know, workflow to a little bit more of the flow of how we all are, and seeing productivity within that. Okay, so that's the full moon. It's seen generally as that culmination point. And this is one of the many reasons why people do full moon rituals, which the term ritual also can sound like it, an all-encompassing sort of phrase. It, mm-hmm. you know, there's many connotations with that word, with, you know, television and, you know, witchcraft, all these things. But generally speaking, a full moon ritual is essentially just writing out what you might feel no longer serves you. This can be people, places, environments that you've noticed, I'm really ready to grow moving into this next phase, midway point through, say, this lunar cycle or this year for me month, and writing that out, getting clear on it. And you can physically destroy the paper or burn it or anything like that. But really, again, not only does that have an energetic impact, but even if you aren't interested in that, it has, it's almost like a physical representation of you declaring, I'm ready to grow, I'm ready to let something go. And because it's just this big, you know, big moon in the sky, it's just this visual reminder. But as well, not only is it a full moon, but we also have it in Taurus, and it's a partial lunar eclipse. And eclipses in astrology are seen to be a more amplified version of a full moon or new moon. We have lunar eclipses with the full moon, solar eclipses with new moons. And so specifically with this one, with it being in Taurus as well, and we're in Scorpio season, which basically means the sun is in the sign of Scorpio, now can be an excellent time for finding grounding, because the eclipse can be a time of heightened energy, even more so than normal full moons. Now can be a great time to find ways that we can engage in our sensory life. So that can be really engaging in tactile activities, maybe cooking together. This can look like really anything that helps you feel grounded. So some people, I mentioned in my recent video where I talk about this moon, some people feel called to be near bodies of water. That can be the ocean, waterfalls, lakes, and finding stillness within that. Some people enjoy being home and just being alone for a few moments. It looks different to everyone, but for me personally, I enjoy meditating, and if I can, going for a hike. And just finding that stillness can be very helpful with tapping into our mind outside of the hustle bustle, outside of worrying about the future or ruminating on the past, just being in the moment. And that's one of the reasons why I really started getting into it and really enjoying it, because it felt like, you know, we can give ourselves permission, right? You know, to do things, to rest. But I really felt so excited around the idea that we see this in nature, a larger sort of macrocosm, I guess, a macrocosm of this, or I guess a microcosm. And then I'll stop after this is winter time. The new moon is the darkest point in the lunar cycle. And the winter time, the winter solstice, is seen as the darkest point seasonally. And so we see these layers of rhythms, whether it's in nature, in the cosmos, even with animals and how they behave throughout different parts of the year. And I just feel very empowered by finding alignment within that. And yeah.
You just There's so much. Okay. So that was very helpful. I feel like I'm starting to like be in this world a little bit because what you just said made sense to me. But if this was me like 6 months ago, I would be like, what? So I had to admit to my husband, and this is going to sound crazy because I realize how crazy I sound when I said it to him. But do you realize that I did not know that the moon was like on a true cycle? So like I knew that, like, okay, you have a full moon and then sometimes the moon is like shaped a certain way, but and I even knew that there were moon phases, but I don't know if I really understood that it was like this cyclical phase process where every day you actually know what it's going to look like. So you know how it's like the new moon and then it goes through these phases and then it's like the full moon, then, you know, like I just never paid attention. I just always kind of thought like, oh, this is what I used to think. I thought if I can't see the full moon today, it's not because it's not a full moon today, but it's because like the clouds positioned in front of my area of the earth is like blocking it or some crazy shit. I don't know. But whatever the case was, I don't think that I knew until I started tracking the moon every day that, like, you know, we know what the moon is going to look like in 10 days and in 20 days. And, you know, like, I just didn't know that, right? I just, it didn't click for me. And so now I will say, you know, ever since kind of reading the book around it, every day I'm like, okay, becoming more familiar with it. But I think to your point, the empowering side of it, because, you know, I'll be honest, it's been hard to kind of have this conversation with people because it's like, oh, Alina is going like straight witchcraft on us, you know, like what happened to the Christian roots? And I'm like, I'm not, like, it's, that is not necessarily my goal for learning and understanding these things. But I think that to your point, the empowering side of it is being able to step away from this 24-hour masculine cycle that capitalism has put us on and instead
let's call it what it is,
you know, align myself with how my body works, you know, and if as a woman, my body in to some degree is on this 28-day cycle. And I know that every single month I feel a certain way on certain parts of the month. And in the middle of the month, I feel like super hype. And then on some days I'm just like, don't talk to me. And it's the same rotation every month. Why not plan my life around that? Right. And so when I kind of found this piece of knowledge, I was like, I went and got my calendar and I started planning like my product launches. When I first launched season 4 for this podcast was based on like, you know, the vibes of like the moon. And I think that even one of the things that Kate talks about in her book is, you know, when you are ovulating, that is like a really great time to do like sales and like have networking conversations because you're basically attracting people to you, right? And I'm like, this is like a secret weapon that everybody needs to know about.
It's so, and hormonally, we have more hormones that give us even more confidence as well during ovulation phases. It's so fascinating to dive deep into that and yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
No, but so that was kind of like, you know, why I was most intrigued because even before I had experienced it, just kind of hypothetically learning about it, it resonated immediately because I knew like there are just days where I feel it. And then there are days that I don't. And then to your point around seasons, it was like, okay, I know that typically in November and December, yeah, most people start slowing down just because of work. It's like, okay, we're going to shut it down. Everybody's going on holiday. But also just like we get into this space where we just want to be like cozy and like sweaters and like relax and renew. And so it's like, do we think that that's just a coincidence? No, it's not. Like, yeah. This is what nature does too. And so pressing the brakes on my excitement, because I know my listeners, they know me. When I get into something new, I'm just like all in, right? But I want to take a step back and just talk about just like astrology in general, right? So when we say things like, you know, the sun is in Scorpio or the full moon is in Taurus, like again, I don't think that I fully even understood how the sky was mapped until I like got my birth chart read. So can you just kind of give us basic like astrology principles for someone who is listening and they're like, okay, y'all are basically speaking a different language right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I just wanted to mention to your point about not knowing that much about the phases of the moon and the timing of it. I was in the same exact boat. And in reflection, I don't know about you, but when I did learn about the moon, it was in a brief section of astrology or no astronomy in high school. And, you know, they didn't go too in depth. And I believe it's because it wasn't in alignment with whatever lesson they wanted to give us overall of all of space. And it's just kind of interesting to look back, and same with our cycle and the different aspects of our cycle, that it's not just the menstrual phase, that there are all of these hormonal moments and four specifically within those 20 to 30 days. That aspect of it as well, I personally did not grow up with a health class. Mm-hmm. And the brief time that we did have a health class, it was just like, hey, here's the birds and the bees, your right. cycle's this. This is where you can get, you know, pads and tampons. And that was kind of it. So mm-hmm. it's completely understandable. And I am just so excited to hear and to play a small part in more people learning about those things, at least for the moon phase. But the fact that it's connected, it just feels very inspiring. But when it comes to the general basics of astrology, I don't know where to start. So I guess I'll start with the zodiac wheel. So the zodiac wheel describes a collection of constellations. And as we move through space, we go into those different constellations. Those can also be referred to as houses. Each constellation rules over a house. So what's a good example? So for example, with every full moon that happens, you might've heard of like, oh, there's an opposition aspect, or there's a trine, mm-hmm. or there's a, you know, something like that between Jupiter and Mars. All of those terms are referencing to the positioning between the different planets and how those positions impact those bodies, those astral bodies. So for example, with every full moon, all full moons occur when there is an opposition aspect, as in a specific placement between the moon and the earth. Mm-hmm. And that's what creates this gap where the sun can fully shine onto the moon. And all of that to say, the different positionings can describe how one another can impact each other. And let's see. So there's the different moon phases. They're impacted by the placement of the moon, earth and sun, and the shadow that's cast. For example, the new moon, we can't see the moon anymore, and that's because it's fully covered with the earth. I'm trying to think of different things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know a big one is retrogrades. Let's talk retrogrades for a moment. So retrogrades essentially happen when different planets from our vantage point on Earth appear to be rotating in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And this happens because of it's hard to explain, but it essentially happens because of the way that it's rotating and how far away it gets to that. It creates that viewpoint for us. But mm-hmm. retrogrades are essentially seen as a time where things can go quote unquote haywire in different areas of our lives. So mm-hmm. for example, Mercury retrograde, oh my gosh, you know, the infamous Mercury retrograde. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons, one of the things that I like to tell everyone is that retrogrades do not necessarily need to be dramatic or, you know, this big hubbub essentially. But retrogrades are essentially teaching us lessons depending on what each planet rules over. So for example, Mercury rules over communication, travel, relationships. And so that's one of the reasons why they say, oh, you know, back up your files and be careful when you travel and don't sign any documents, because those are aspects of our lives that if we aren't bringing intention and slowing down to have awareness with, they can potentially go haywire. But it's essentially a lesson for us. So if we are slowing down, if we are being aware of what we're doing when it comes to our communication, all of these things, and this is just for Mercury, but for any of these houses and any of these planets, most of the time it isn't too much of an issue. Yeah, I don't know what else to bring up, but.
I think that, so I'm going to share my screen since we're on YouTube now, because I want to visually be able to just kind of see, I'm just trying to find like a great picture really quickly. See kind of like this snapshot of the sky, right? So the way that I recently saw a video, I think it was on Goop. Do you watch Goop stuff? Are you familiar?
Not too much. Yeah, but I've heard of them.
Okay. So Gwyneth Paltrow's company, Goop, they brought in this astrologist, and she was basically talking about, you know, how our birth charts are basically from the moment that we're born, you know, the time that we're born, it's almost like there's like a snapshot taken in the sky, which essentially, you know, is the location of the planets and like the location of the sun and the moon. And based on kind of where they are, that is being your birth chart, right? And there's so much that you can kind of discover from that. And so it was something about the way that she said the term snapshot that felt like kind of cool to me. And I don't know if I have a good picture yet, but it kind of just made it where I was like, okay, I've always heard about like, you know, your zodiac sign. And I knew my sun sign was Taurus, but when people be like, oh yeah, my moon sign is Taurus, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. So when it comes to like understanding, like, okay, so what I then kind of realized is that depending on where, you know, things were when you were born, you have a little bit of all of the zodiac signs in you, essentially, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that was something that I think was an aha moment for me, because it would say like, oh yeah, you know, this house was in this sign when you were born, so you have this characteristic. And I'm like, holy crap. So I've been out here basically saying, oh, Aries ain't shit. Y'all think y'all know it all, but then my moon sign is Aries. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe that's why I think that y'all know it all. Y'all think y'all know it all, because I think that I know it all because I'm secretly an Aries.
Oh my goodness.
That was hilarious. But can you talk a little bit about even that, right? So like, do you know off top, like all of the houses? I'm sure you do, but.
I, off the top of my head, I can, oh, all of the houses. I can think, I can maybe talk about the sun, moon, Mercury, Mars. Those are some of the major ones. So say if you look it up, like you can even look it up right now, if you're watching or you're listening, how basically what aspect of your personality they impact.
Okay.
So for example, the moon has to do with our emotions. It has to do with our inner world. And depending on the sign of the moon, that can be an indicator of how you show up when it comes to our emotions, our two intuitive abilities, and things like that. The sun is how we present ourselves to the world. It's how the world perceives us. And
those are one of the most popular signs, right?
Yes. Yeah. These are the, some of the most popular, or I guess some of the most significant planets or astral bodies when we're looking up our natal chart and what sign they might be in.
Yeah.
So, so you said that you're a Taurus sun and then Pisces moon?
Aries.
Oh, Aries. Got you. Okay. That's really interesting. Yeah. Cause for example, with me, I'm a Gemini sun, moon, and Mercury. And I always wondered, why am I so indecisive? Why am I so into art, but I also want to do this and that, and I want to keep creating all the time. And I realized, you know, Gemini is ruled over by Mercury, and that impacts your communication and wanting to do a million things. And that's also one of the reasons why each constellation has a symbol. So for example, with Gemini, it's the person, it's the two-faced person. So it represents being dynamic and being open to both sides of the coin, and being more empathetic. I'm kind of going all over the place.
I know. It's like, we're talking about so much, but hopefully it'll come back together.
Okay. Yes. But yeah, I'm trying to think of any specific area you want me to cover.
No, it's fine. So when we think about, you know, even using this information, right? And I think that for me, what I want to kind of get to today is, what does this even mean for us, right? Because I feel like for years I've been like, oh yeah, I'm a Taurus through and through. And then all of a sudden I realized that like there are these kind of 12 other positions that have impacted how I communicate, you know, how I deal with family, you know, my emotional side. And so, you know, between, you know, that side of astrology, between the different phases that are kind of happening every day, in a day in the life of someone like you who has kind of all of this knowledge, how are you utilizing this information to empower you from day to day?
Well, specifically from day to day, I pay attention to what phase within my own menstrual cycle I am and basically try to plan my workflow around that. But when it comes to the moon phases, when it there's a new moon, I give myself permission to rest, very generally speaking, because I'm pretty busy and I'm doing a lot. So sometimes I'm not always, for example, oh, Mercury just entered Taurus. Like, I'm not the type that's going to be like, okay, because it entered Taurus, then I'm going to go and I'm going to write this one thing. Mm-hmm. I generally will be more aligned with the moon phases. And if I see a specific transit that looks like it might impact me a little bit more, I'll pay a little bit more attention to it. But during new moons, I give myself permission to rest if I feel called to. I also noticed that I really enjoy cleaning my space before a few days before the new moon. And that's kind of where I'm at. I look at the different moon phases. So for example, for the full moon, I'm hoping to go to the beach and visually see it. I'm hoping to write things out and burn the page and everything like that. And so for me, I specifically focus more on the moon phases and my personal physiological phases of, you know, menstruation. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to following along with that, I also like following different types of apps that can give me reminders. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that maybe an astrologer that had, you know, before time of technology that had more time to kind of keep track of it all the time might change their behavior day to day. But I personally don't. But every astrologer is different.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself an astrologist?
Yes, I would, but I started as a nutritionist and I feel more called to looking at the synergistic nature of astrology and nature, of astrology and how we eat and our lifestyle and how it all plays together from a holistic health perspective. Mm-hmm. And yeah, oh, there was something else I want to mention that I forgot. Oh, this might be a little bit off topic, but maybe not. In Ayurveda or in India, they have a traditional form of medicine modality called Ayurveda. And they focus a lot on the same things of understanding our rhythms, relative nutrition, our lifestyle, the seasons. And it's just very insightful to learn how you can balance yourself depending on what phase of the moon it is and what phase of, you know, the earth we're in. So for example, during the fall and winter seasons, we have more warming herbs, spices, and foods to help us with our circulation, to boost our immune system. You know, the whole notion of pumpkin spice, like, oh, girls like pumpkin spice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because those spices within that are not only what makes up usually chai lattes, but they are traditional spices like cinnamon, ginger, clove, these warming spices that have been used for centuries to help people move into the colder months. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going on another tangent. So
it's just so interesting. Like, I just had like a whole moment because I'm like, wow, like, I feel that there is so much information that for some reason, in American culture, it has just gotten lost. And, you know, I'm from the South, so I'm always just blaming stuff on like, this is what happened. We got stolen from our land. We have no culture, you know, but it's like, you know, even when you think about, so I just interviewed a young lady who started a company that sells a sleep powder, but it's really a mixture of Chinese herbs. She's Asian and she, you know, it's just stuff that she looked up or things that she, like her grandmother used to help her sleep. And so, you know, you had all of these kind of modalities that kind of brought in nature to create healing powers and to help us to kind of be our best selves and optimize. And now, you know, we're having to kind of return home to the earth to kind of give us these things. So I think it's so interesting because I don't know that I was really raised knowing it, right? It was like some things we did, right? Okay, you have soups, you try to warm your body. Like some of that is just kind of probably passed down. But I don't know if I really understood like why things are the way that they are and how they kind of, to your point, balance me out. And so when it comes to even nutrition, you know, and before we even get fully into nutrition, I wanted to even just acknowledge like the different phases of the menstrual cycle, right? Because I think that we also take for granted that people actually know what those are, you know, and kind of how they show up in us. So before we kind of go into how you use these phases in nutrition and kind of how you fuel yourself, can you kind of walk us through like the menstrual cycles and kind of how they impact us hormonally in productivity?
Sure. Let's see. So we can start with the menstrual phase, which is essentially when we get our period. Mm-hmm. That is a phase where right before, one of the reasons why we have this association with PMS and being in a bad mood is that our hormones drastically drop leading up to that or during. Some people have PMS before and during. And that is a time when we are, that is a time when we are most energetically low. Mm-hmm. And that's because our body is hard at work. And to speak to your point about, you know, living in our country and our world and our capitalistic system, that's not really put into consideration, these phases. And so even historically in many patriarchal societies or societies that didn't pay attention to these things, they would often have women go and rest. Like, you need to stay in bed and not do anything. And also stay away from us because you're dirty. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to productivity, that is the time most in alignment with the new moon. And that's the time most in alignment with resting and letting our body do the work that it needs to. When it's relative to, for example, right now you're breastfeeding and not having that cycle or that, yeah, specifically the menstrual cycle, but you're still in the cycle. I'm not too familiar with that info as of right now though, but there's that aspect. Let's see. There's a follicular phase. And correct me if I'm wrong, I need to brush up on this, but the follicular phase happens following the menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's when a new egg is, you know, being grown and fostered. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is the recovery phase, but this is a phase when you can have, an increase in energy.
Mm-hmm. I've always heard that the follicular is good for like actually planning. So, you know, mm-hmm. like ovulation is good to to go out and kind of bring what you've been planning during follicular to like to the light for other people to see. But like in mm-hmm. that first kind of period between, and it makes sense, right? So it's like you rested, which a lot of time when you rest, you renew and then you can get back to work, mm-hmm. but you may not be ready to like come out. Right. So yeah. It may be like that phase. I think of that as like the phase in the month where I'm like, okay, I rested from the last product launch. So let me kind of reflect and plan based on what just happened. Yes. And then, you know, bring it to the world. And then once I bring it to the world, then it's like, okay, let me go back into my cave.
That's a trick. I feel the same. And it's so interesting to hear you describe it that way. I appreciate you, you know, explaining it, because that is what the waxing phase of the moon is following the new moon. It's that mm-hmm. time that is really a time of building up momentum and initiating the things that you planned while you were resting and reflecting during the new moon. Mm-hmm. So that I find that to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, so we mm-hmm. have menstrual, which is basically, will we consider that the full or the new moon?
The menstrual is the new moon. Although okay. I will say that some people have what's called a blood moon, and that's okay. when it's the opposite. So their menstrual cycle will happen during the full moon. So everyone's different, but I made a video on this and I had some people comment like, you know, cause there's some people who don't menstruate at all. There's some people who have that switched up. So I want to acknowledge that it varies.
Okay. Okay. That's a good information, because again, I shared with Alina that because I'm nursing, I don't have my menstrual cycle. And so I've been planning against the moon, but just like in the studies that I've seen, it's, you know, new moon is like menstrual and then follicular is waxing. Mm-hmm. And then after waxing is
the ovulation phase or the full moon. And there's a smaller phase within that. I don't know if you're referencing that as well. I think it's the proliferate phase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get me together, because, you know, I'm just taking all this.
No, but generally speaking, there are those four phases. So following the menstrual cycle, we have the follicular and then the ovulatory cycle. And what's interesting about that is that hormonally, we have things going on where we feel more energized and we're out. We're usually more confident. We're usually likely to initiate, you know, some mm-hmm. sexual things and all the things. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because during the full moon, we see that people are more energized to be out and about. And what's crazy to me is that I have had friends who were nurses, EMTs, people who worked for the coroner's office all separately. I asked them, like, have you noticed a difference in, you know, behavior of people coming into the hospital during full moons? And all of them were like, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's actually very weird. And mm-hmm. I find that to be fascinating because it's, you know, seen as this time where people want to be more out and about. People tend to be more social, and people tend to have heightened emotions as well. So when that isn't necessarily managed, maybe, you know, you end up meeting the nurse or the EMT or something like that. But
yeah,
but yeah, so that's generally speaking, the ovulatory phase. Yeah.
Yeah. And even like I've read, like, you know, with parenting, like giving your kids a little bit of grace on full moons because of the same thing that you just said, like they're just crazy. Like I noticed that like my children are just more, they want to be seen and heard on those particular days. They're taking more risks than they normally would take. So like I saw my daughter this morning, she like jumped from like four steps up and I'm like, oh my God, like to the T on these days. And so can you explain why that is? Because I've heard something along the lines of because we are like 95% made of water or something like that, similar to, you know, the earth, that the moon like pulls on these emotions. But I don't know. I'm a beginner here. So what is that like attachment to moon energy?
You're completely right. It does definitely have to do with the amount of water that we have in our body. But it also has to do with, like mentioned, the full moon can raise the tides. So energetically, it's described as this time where we can have not only heightened emotions, but also heightened intuition. Mm-hmm. And with that, from a spiritual perspective, it's seen that if certain things that maybe come up, triggers potentially come up, disagreements come up, because we have those heightened emotions, we can be more likely to maybe have disagreements or, you know, some type of issues when it comes to our relationships arise. And if we have maybe done the work of understanding ourselves a little bit better, doing more work within emotional intelligence or even shadow work, oftentimes these triggers can be catalysts for growth moving forward into that next phase of the moon cycle. And so, yeah, I hope that generally explains why that happens.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I think that, again, it's interesting because we probably intuitively notice these different like cycles, but we probably don't know that there's like a rhythm to it. You know, it's almost like, mm-hmm. oh, I have these different versions of myself, but to some degree, it's almost like we have like somewhat of a predictable nature that we could build on from a positive standpoint, that I think would be helpful for people. So when it comes to, you know, my programming, which is called Life Crafting, it is looking at like this whole woman approach, and honoring all of the kind of levers that we pull to show up as our best, the best version of ourselves. So that looks like, you know, making sure that the different domains in our lives are being honored. So whether that's spirituality, relationships, vitality, career, achievement, like all of these different things that make us who we want to be. What we find is that a lot of times we have more focus, particularly in Western culture, on career and achievement than on every other mm-hmm. area, which is why we end up seeing, you know, so many women to some degree feeling unfulfilled because they're not able to tap into these other areas. And so one of my goals with the program and with this show is to really bring in all of these things that can help us best serve ourselves. Right. Mm. So I'll give you an even more practical example. One of my strengths, and this is just based on like an assessment, is love of learning, which basically translates to love of books and reading. And so it's why I do the work that I do, because I love consuming information. Like the mm-hmm. fact that I even binged on your show, like I'm like, okay, when I find something, like I want to go in. But then I also love sharing information, right? And so there was a season right after I had my third child where I don't think I read any information for maybe like 4 months. And I just had the worst postpartum baby blues. And I couldn't understand why. And it was because this very significant piece of who I am was not being fulfilled. Like I wasn't consuming information. And that I have found is like a huge part of like who I am. Right. Mm-hmm. And so my goal is to kind of help people find these different ways to tap into who they are and then to, and like then to execute on it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bringing all of this into it, we have all of these experts come on here. And so I want to spend some time talking about the nutrition piece of it, because I also think that that's something for me personally that has been a big game changer over the last 6 years, since really becoming a mom, where I had to just like figure out hormones, right? Because that hormones trying to take me out once I had kids, you know. And I have found that, like, you know, not enough sleep and poor diet are like the main two triggers for me that just like send me over the edge. So when you think about fueling someone, right? Like if you had to kind of give someone some practical advice based on kind of your nutrition experience and even now how you approach it from a moon phase perspective, what are some things that someone could really do to use nutrition to kind of fuel certain areas of their lives?
Absolutely. You know, going back to what we were talking about before, how there are different hormone levels depending on what phase we are in our cycle, that can also dictate what we might crave. So in general Western society, we always associate our menstrual cycle with only ever having certain cravings right before your cycle or during your cycle or while you're pregnant. And most of these things are rooted in hormones communicating to us, hey, actually your body is going through a certain, you know, a certain phase where it actually needs specific nutrients. And so if somebody, say, is maybe noticing something like that, or that resonates with them, it can be very beneficial to look into different foods for different phases within your cycle. But I think that a great foundational aspect of this is looking at the seasons and trying to eat seasonally with that time. So I mentioned the fall and winter. Root vegetables are very great. They're very grounding as well. And they can help to fill you up when we are more sedentary. Say, you know, our ancestors might've stayed indoors more because of the colder weather. Going into the spring, in traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, they talk a lot about different ways that we can gently detox our body. So that can look like consuming different types of teas, herbs, and maybe not even any type of supplements, but just more fibrous raw vegetables. And this is something that's brought up because we can usually have more foods that are higher in sugar and salt in the winter seasons as we're more sedentary. And so into spring, as we start moving our body as well, we're gently detoxing. The whole term of detoxing and the association of it being with tummy teas and all this stuff has also been convoluted in our Western era. I feel like you mentioned before, I wanted to, you know, say to your point, this disconnection that we've noticed and coming home almost to our ancestral, you know, practices and ways of life all point back to living in alignment with nature. And in that same way, it's, I could keep going, but also there's the yin and yang aspect in traditional Chinese medicine. For example, you're detoxing with more yin foods because of the yang weather that's coming, and vice versa in the winter. And so let's see. Yeah. So I say foundationally, look into seasonal foods and seasonal practices. So for example, like I mentioned, in the spring, we're moving more, we're letting go of that stagnant energy oftentimes that we can experience when we are more sedentary. We're prioritizing getting out in the sun if we can. And also, another favorite, circadian rhythm, like you mentioned. The circadian rhythm, especially right now, we have daylight savings time. Funny enough, there is so much research into an increase in heart attacks and car accidents around the time of daylight savings. And that's because even just that 1 hour can throw us off. I'm not sure. Are you in Texas?
Atlanta.
Does your area do daylight savings time changes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just that slight change can drastically impact it. Also during the winter time, for example, the solstice that's coming up, the winter solstice, it's a time where we have more nighttime hours than daylight hours. And with that slight change over the days, it's very important for us to update our sleep cycle as well. Because for example, Let me try and find a way to tie this all together because I can keep talking. But all of that to say, this is how I'll wrap it up. Like you were mentioning before, it can be very empowering to understand the different cycles we have and the earth and how that aligns. And not only can it be helpful to not feel like we're crazy, for example, before people started acknowledging the advent of PMS and all of these things, by the way, my mom doesn't want to acknowledge that that exists, which is kind of interesting. I thought I was going crazy. I was like, why am I so offended right now for this random thing that, why am I crying at this puppy commercial, right? Mm-hmm. That is a microcosm of the different phases that we can have where we feel overjoyed, where we feel more confident in that same way every 28 days. And increasing our awareness of that through different books, like you've mentioned, there's another book, I can't remember it now, but I'll try and find it before we end. Not only helps to empower ourselves of like, oh, okay. Like something else that I do is using a menstrual app to be aligned with the cycles. Not only helps us to feel more empowered, like, oh, okay, I understand I'm in my luteal phase. Mm-hmm. Not that you blame it on everything, but it can help us have more inner peace. But it also helps us to better communicate with our partners and our family members and our friends potentially. And it takes us a step outside of Western culture of it only being like, oh, she's PMSing. Oh, the woman has this hormonal phase and we won't get into it right now, but guys have hormonal phases too. Mm-hmm. So it can definitely be a very empowering thing. I hope that what I mentioned in terms of nutrition was relatively clear.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest thing is just like you said, the awareness of it and then slowing down enough to make it a priority, because I think that so much of what we do is reactive, right? So it's like, oh, I'm sick now, or, oh, I'm depressed now, or, oh, my anxiety is high, or, oh, I hate my job or whatever. And then we try to fix it instead of saying, well, I want to take this approach to life, right? Which is another thing that I try to practice is this idea of taking, you know, work, which almost feels like the sun in our culture and everything kind of floating around it. And instead saying, well, I want to actually build my work around like my life and my values and my needs. And you can really only do that, you know, from an introspective state, and really being able to get in tune looks like proper nutrition, you know, proper awareness, learning kind of these things that help us to return to self. So before I let you go though, I know that there, once people hop off of this, if they don't already, you know, see your channel or your page, they will, and they'll come back like, Alina, why didn't we talk business with her? Because we have a lot of business owners on my show. So I want to kind of talk about, how did you use this passion and, you know, this state of like expertise to build your channel or your business? I know that you just recently, you know, launched a new product, which we got to hear a little bit about. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you took a passion and turned it into a business.
Definitely. So when I was in college, I felt so called to start a YouTube channel, specifically because I was studying nutrition and learning all of this empowering information, you know, and so I started my channel around maybe 2016, I believe, 2015 or 2016. And it was primarily just what I eat in a day, nutrition videos, the health benefits of ginger tea, the health benefits of matcha, and just starting there. And it was over that time, like I mentioned before, that it evolved into learning how interconnected from holistic health perspective everything is with space. And so I started to cover more astrology type topics as well. And so very simply put, if I could break this down to the most applicable sense, I have a portal of information where I offer free information that's accessible. And that's kind of there's another word for it, but it's essentially, this platform is a portal onto my products and what I offer. So I first started with YouTube because I was like, oh, I get paid through AdSense. And it took me a very long time to actually get there. But, you know, now I do. But so there's that aspect of it, of the business. And then that portal leads to a product. And specifically the one that I wanted to create, I started in 2019, is the Auraline Astrology Planner. And it's a planner that gives you notifications for the entire year's astrological events, but it also has dedicated full and new moon ritual pages. So you can write out maybe what you want to let go of once a month during the full moon and what your intentions are for the new lunar cycle ahead or the month ahead in the new moon section. And as a Gemini and as, you know, just, I don't know, just myself, I have a lot of ideas popping around all the time, popping up all the time. And I really like the idea of having it all in one place rather than, you know, maybe getting a notification through Instagram. Oh, it's an eclipse today. Okay, cool. Wait, like what's the ritual I do? You can just have it all in one place. And there's also seasonal wellness guides within it. So there's a reminder of all the seasonal foods for any given season. I have customized writing prompts to help with reflection. And I also have a chart of different ancestral healing modalities and what they would do during that time. So I talk about Egyptian, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic, and Celtic seasonal practices to give more context as to why, you know, what's quote unquote new age isn't really new age. It's like you said, we're returning back to our ancestors and what they did, and the rhythms of nature. And we can have a whole other conversation also about deconstructing the whole stereotypes of being aligned with nature and witchcraft and demonic stuff, because that connection was actually, it's a whole other thing, but it's very much a fallacy in a lot of ways. But anyway, I hope that explains things, but that's mainly what I do. I also offer meditation downloads, notebooks, and tote bags now with quotes from how I wrap up my videos. And so that adds like an extra connection with my audience as well. But that's basically how I run things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so on the, do you offer any services or do you just do products right now?
I used to offer one-on-one nutrition consults, but now I just stick with, I have like four or five that I'm working with right now. And I just do that privately. But yeah, I just basically only offer either physical or virtual products because that helps with scalability and manageability for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So how many subscribers do you have on YouTube now?
I think it's 157,000, I believe.
And yeah, you're basically famous.
Oh my gosh. I want to say that too. Like, honestly, like if anybody's listening and if they want any type of advice or perspective, I'm here. And yeah, like I'm no celebrity, but I'm very grateful to be in an era where we can, you know, create our own businesses and create our own cycles. And ooh, I hit my mic. And yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we'll definitely have to bring you back as our resident astrologist to kind of just help us to continue to have these conversations, because I do think to your last point that you just made around the disconnection between, like, I even have family members, I don't believe in astrology. There's no way that everybody that's born in this month is the same. And I'm like, that's not what it says, but okay. You know, and so I think that there is a conversation to be had, because there is, from my personal experience, nothing but empowerment around understanding why we are the way we are, right? And why, you know, we have a certain level of intuition and a certain level of emotion, you know, on any given day, and how we can use that to really align with our purpose and, you know, serve others in the best capacity based on all of these different things that make us who we are. So I am just so glad to have our initial conversation, and I hope that we can stay in touch and have you back, but we appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of The Reminder Remedy. Be sure to visit us at thereminderremedy.com for all of our latest information on our workshops, our freebies, and how you can stay in touch with us.